Has the housing market reached bottom, or is the worst yet to come? This time on Mortgages Made Simple.
Mortgages Made Simple with Rick Gunzik, helping you get the best home loan possible. Sponsored by Pacific Residential Financing at pacificresidential.com. And now, here's your host, mortgage expert Rick Gunzik.
Welcome to Mortgages Made Simple, where we help you understand the complicated world of mortgages and help you get the best home loan possible. And joining me as always is my co-host and producer, Douglas E. Welch from Welchrite.com. Hey Doug, it's a hot week out here. How you doing out there?
It is a hot week here in Los Angeles. Luckily, it sounds like we're going to get some relief starting tomorrow, thank goodness. When you're stuck in the office all day, the air conditioning sometimes doesn't keep up with it. So it'll be nice to have a little cool weather before we hit that really high heat of the summer, that's for sure.
Well, that's for sure. Today, Doug, we're going to be talking about, because I get this question a lot, should I buy a home now? Is it a good time to buy? So we're going to talk about the housing market and see if it's reached bottom yet.
Well, it seems if you could tell people when to buy a home would be the great, that'd be a pretty good skill.
That would be good. Of course, then I'd move over to the stock market and leave the mortgage industry.
Yeah, I can understand that for sure.
But what we want to dissect first is the mortgage problem really over? It's kind of difficult to ascertain that. I've seen a lot of estimates on this, and of course, as people have seen in the news, the subprime crisis, subprime crisis here, subprime crisis there. I've even heard the subprime crisis affecting, the price of bread in the supermarkets, but it does get a little out of hand sometimes. Now, the other day, about a week ago or so, the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, estimated that the loss in mortgages will reach $1 trillion, which is an insane amount of money, of course. And so far, the banks have only written off about $250 million. So they figure it's about a quarter to halfway done. Now, what this means, though, it doesn't necessarily mean the mortgage crisis is over or isn't over, because sometimes you won't see some of this money that's actually being written off. Like foreign entities that invested into mortgage securities, they won't announce this at all. Like, if, for instance, if China bought, $100 billion worth of mortgages, they're not going to mention that, they lost a bunch of money on it. It's just not something they're going to do. Pension funds, same thing. They don't want to get the black eye that it would give them right now. So,
right.
I think did I say 250 billion or million? It's actually 250 billion, but so it's about a quarter of the way done in terms of what banks are writing off. But we're seeing a lot of liquidity coming back. Wells Fargo announced a statement today that they were seeing illiquidity in the jumbo market, which is why the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac came out with that economic stimulus package. So that should cure that problem in terms of people buying jumbo mortgages on the secondary market. And the primary market for mortgages, with mortgages below $417,000 and FHA loans, is still a good market. So anytime you're below that 417 level, that's certainly steady.
Now that 417, I remember that from previous shows. Now, has that changed at all here in California? Did they give us our boost up there?
Yeah, they gave us our boost up, but there's a lot of caveats with it. We can go up to 729,750, which is the loan amount you can now go into for a conforming loan. They're calling it an agency jumbo conforming loan, basically. And you can go up to 729,750. It's really only good for purchases, though, and that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to stimulate the purchase market. You can do refinances with it, but they'll only really allow you to go to 75% loan-to-value and a little higher if you're not taking any cash out. And some lenders won't even let you take cash out on this particular loan. But if you're buying a new home, you can go up to 90% loan-to-value if you have a 700 credit score. And if your credit score is any lower, you can only go 80% loan-to-value. But that still gives you a lot of boost for your buck. Now, the thing that we don't like about it, and some of the other lenders, is there's an add-on to it that we thought was a little too high. There, basically, it's about a two-point hit to the fees. So let's say you're getting a normal, this might get a little bit confusing, but let's say you're getting a normal conforming loan. You might be able to get it at 6% today. Well, if you're getting one of these jumbo agency loans, it might be about 6.75% or so. But that's not bad. I mean, we're talking jumbo mortgage money, and at least you could still buy your house, and it's not that much worse than the old jumbo market when it was really strong. So I think the mortgage crisis, basically, it's kind of behind us. You're going to see more write-downs in terms of banks writing off some of these mortgages and investment banks writing off some of these mortgages. But in terms of the liquidity in the secondary market, it looks like we've got it pretty good now. So I think that problem's not out there. Basically, though, what people need to remember when they're going to buy a new home now is the stated income loans are a thing of the past. We're back to 10 years ago when you had to qualify for your loan. And
so no more so-called liar's loans. Is that what you're telling me, Rick?
Exactly, which is really great for the industry. Because when we did mostly retail, we went to doing wholesale loans where we took loans from other mortgage companies for the past 4 or 5 years. But when we did retail loans, we always started people as a full doc loan anyway. It's just easier to do. The people are more comfortable with their payment and all that kind of stuff. It's the, you know, it's the best way to do a loan when you actually qualify for your payment. You know, funny story, but it actually is. So the mortgage problem is kind of behind us. Just remember, you've got to, of course, now with me saying it's behind us, there'll be some announcement next week. But you've got to qualify for your loan now, which is the best way you want to do it anyway.
Right. And you don't want to be out there getting a loan you can't afford. And I know it's tough, and I know it people really want to buy into a home, but they've just got to remember that if they go into something they can't afford, it's all going to end badly when it comes down to it.
Exactly. And now a lot of people want to know if home prices hit bottom. And this is kind of why these shakeouts occur. And it kind of helps out a lot of people because I've been seeing a lot of anecdotal stories about people being able to actually afford houses now because the housing affordability index has gone up a little bit since prices have come down. Now, some people are wondering if home prices have actually hit bottom. Well, in terms of new home sales or new home prices, they're down about 13% versus this period last year. So in terms of the builders, the one thing with the builders is they're still building a lot of homes. They built 900,000. They applied for 900,000 permits this year, but they've only sold 500,000 houses in the last 12 months. So they're building a lot of excess houses. But the builders might know something we don't too, because you know these guys have a lot of money at stake. So they're not going to be building a lot of houses if they don't think there's some sort of turnaround coming. But their prices are down 13% for new homes. Also, nationwide resale homes, meaning you know, a home that's been lived in by someone else and you're buying it from a resale, you know, nationwide the prices are down about 20%. Now, back in 1991 when we had a bit of a shakeout too, Doug, that was about the amount they fell nationwide too. It was about 18 to 20%. Orange County and LA County were down about 22%, I recall. Now, the Inland Empire in San Bernardino area in Riverside, they got hit a little harder. Also, the Lancaster area in Palmdale, in if you're familiar with California, it's just outside of LA. They fell much harder. They fell 40 to 50%. Reason being, they're outside of the main areas where people want to try and move to, so they do tend to get hit a little worse. So basically, Doug, we've fallen about the same amount as we fell back then, back in 1991, when it was a pretty rough hit.
Well, Rick, I'm looking at our notes here. One of the things, and I knew I saw this article in the paper last week. I'm not sure what day it was, but it was in the LA Times. What do you think of these repo bus tours that we're seeing out here?
Yeah, those are interesting because I actually saw that ad. And there was a guy up north doing it. I think in Stockton he was doing this, and they brought it down to LA. It's actually kind of might be a contrarian indicator, which I'm hoping for. Sometimes when you see an article on like Fortune magazine that says the stock market's going to go to 20,000. And, you know, of course, if you don't follow the stock market, it's around 12,000 now. Well, it's actually a little higher. And anytime you see an article like that, it usually marks the end of end of something. So I'm hoping this repo bus tour is the end of it, where it's like everybody's trying the last-ditch effort to say housing prices have farther to go down. And this repo bus tour is maybe something that's signaling this is the bottom.
It's not going to get any worse from here.
Exactly. It's not going to get any worse. And what encourages me, too, is the fact that we've fallen just the amount we did in 91, which people felt was a terrible crisis then. And that was also just after, if you remember, back in Orange County, that was in L.A. County in California. That was shortly after the aerospace industry had a shakeout, which was really drastic in the area because that, you know, we lost, I think it was 300,000 jobs in these two counties, which was an enormous amount of people out of work.
The valley got hit really hard with the aerospace shakeup.
Right, and this time we didn't have anything like that in this area. It was just mainly a confidence issue, and people need to understand that too. I've mentioned this story several times on the show, and it's something I always go back to because it really blows my mind that you can influence an economy just by people's attitudes. But a guy did a study on the housing market in England going back 150 years or whatever, and the only correlation between housing prices going up and down was consumer confidence. So don't worry, be happy. It's my credo on that, Doug.
But you didn't actually say that. Did we get that on tape? You really didn't say that.
I don't think I did. But the other thing to remember, I do think it's a good time to go out looking for a house. That's the bottom line. Now, but with that, I want one caveat. Be careful where you buy. Don't just buy something because it's a great deal and it just seems like it's, you know, you can afford it and it's good to buy. I think one of the main things to take out of this and to really go forward in your future life for everything. I mean, this is a real good piece of advice is real estate is extremely, extremely local. They always talk about location, location, location in real estate, but I think it can't be battered home more than this. Find an area where it's got good schools. And I want to read you these numbers, Doug, because they'll blow your mind. This is recent news last week from the first quarter of 2008 and housing prices in local areas, what they've gone up and gone down. I'm going to give you the biggest losses first because it'll be interesting. Hemet's down the most. It's 48% down. And Hemet's, you know, people are pretty familiar with Hemet. It's a little more of a retirement community. It's way out there. I shouldn't say way out there, but it's, you know,
way out there. Los Angeles, it's quite a distance to the east, definitely.
Right. 29 Palms, which is quite a bit out there, just past Yucca Valley, is down 43%. Moreno Valley down 43%. Now these are equal with the changes, the losses we had in 91. Palmdale is down 41%. Moreno Valley, another zip code, Moreno Valley is down 38%. Oxnard 38%. Lancaster is down about 38%. And Adelanto, which is a little bit out there, is down about 38%. That's about the same loss those areas had in 1991. So it's not like you can't say we didn't tell you because it happened once before. And you know what they say about history tends to repeat itself. Now here's the interesting thing, Doug, that I found really interesting was the biggest gains. Now granted, these are prices that are a little more, houses that are a little more pricey, but an area in Newport Beach, housing changed, the price in housing prices 66% over last year. Indian Wells, which is a nice community out there, a little past Palm Springs, right, Doug? You're more familiar with that area than I.
Yeah, that's in the Coachella Valley now. It's part of that whole Palm Springs area.
Okay, that was up 40% year over year. Another area in Newport Beach up 27%. A zip code area in 90069 in West Hollywood up 25%. Santa Barbara zip code up 25%. 92603 zip code in Irvine up 18%. And then 92107 area in San Diego up 14%. And Brentwood up 15%. So even though
this is home values, you said, right?
Yeah, this is home values. Now, the interesting thing, though, is even though there's a major housing crisis, as everybody's, you know, the press is selling to everybody, these areas experience double-digit growth year over year. So that's why it's so important to pick an area you like. And obviously, these areas are a little more pricey. So, but what I want to pound home to people looking for homes in the, you know, the $350,000 to $400,000 range, which is a lot of the condominiums in LA are going for that now, even some in the low 300s, is make sure you pick an area that's really desirable to other people, though. Let's say it has a good school system, or it's just a really nice neighborhood, it's really well kept. Things of that nature, Doug, are really important, because when you get down to it, housing prices can change from street to street. I know that sounds crazy, but they really can.
Oh, no, I experienced that directly. I'm on the border between, and while it's all the city of Los Angeles, I'm the border between Van Nuys, where I live, and Sherman Oaks. These are two neighborhoods that butt up against each other. And literally, if you go a block and a half to my south, you will pay at least an extra $100,000 for your home than we pay just a block and a half north.
Yeah, and it's just incredible. So it's really something you want to do with your real estate agent, and you really want to narrow them down on this. You know, tell them, you know, I want to be in this house for a while. I want it to hold this value. And, you know, they won't be able to guarantee that, obviously. But tell them you want a neighborhood that everybody else wants to get into. And that's the key to these things. These other neighborhoods that I read the zip codes on, these are areas that have limited housing stock and people that want to move into them. And, you know, if whether it's the school be nice, that school that's nice, or it's just a certain area, there's a really nice area in Santa Ana, and I can't think of what it's called, but I don't want to say fancy, but it's a really pretty area. It's got, everybody does their yard work very well, and the houses have a colonial look to them. And it's a really desirable neighborhood. Nobody ever sells out of there because they all want to live there because it's so nice. That's the kind of area you want. There's also, I remember we were doing a loan. This is back when the housing market was really strong. This is back in 2004, 2005. We were doing a loan for a guy that was buying this nice condominium project in, I believe it was in Orange. And we could not find any comparable sales. And it was a 400-unit condominium project. And I was talking to the appraiser, and he said, nobody ever sells when they move here because it's so nice. And so it just it was crazy because it was difficult for us to get an appraisal. But once we did, it came in at value, and sure enough, it came in higher than it was because it's just such a desirable area that everybody wants to move in there. So that's the thing you want to look for, and I can't pound that home enough. So I do think it's a good time to buy. I think it's a good time to start looking. Just be real patient and tell your agent you're looking for a place that you want, you know, you want to make sure it's desirable. And I think you'll find a good house, and you'll be happy you took so long to look for a good area because that's what's going to hold the value. And like Doug mentioned, even a street over can make a significant difference in the value of your home. So start looking, and if you find a deal, I think it's definitely a good time to go for it. Thank you for joining us on Mortgages Made Simple, and be sure to join us next week when we talk about what the Fed's decision this week means for you.
For more information, visit the website at pacificresidential.com. There you can find past shows, interesting blog posts, and more. Do you have a question for Rick? Email mortgagepodcast@gmail.com or call our listener line at 714-519-7833. If you listen to Mortgages Made Simple directly from the website, please consider subscribing. It's free and you'll receive each new episode automatically. You'll find a link on the website, pacificresidential.com. Are you looking for a great home loan? Call Pacific Residential at 888-868-2198. Tell your loan officer you're a podcast listener and receive a free credit report. If you later get your loan through Pacific Residential, when your loan closes, we'll refund the appraisal fee for podcast listeners. This show is a production of WelchRite.com, WelchRite.com.